Recording is now started.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, am I back on the bridge?
You are.
Okay. This is Marilyn Cade. I am acting as chair today in Chuck's absence. I'm going to work through the agenda that Chuck sent out and just make a couple of suggested amendments to it myself and then open the floor to the group for changes, but before any additions. But before I do that, I'm going to just do a roll call, and if you'll give me a minute, I'll get this up. Remember that the call is being transcribed and recorded, and if you object to that, we need to ask you to leave the call, because by remaining on the call, you're agreeing to that. We're going to try to make sure that when we speak, we open our comments with our full name. So, for instance, I will in the future try to say Marilyn Cade. And I'm also going to try various times to go through the entire group of people who are on the phone and make sure that everyone has a chance to speak or to ask questions. So let me start with the roll call. Carolyn Greer.
Yes, I'm here.
Caroline, excuse me. Timothy Denton.
Here.
Patrick Jones.
Here.
Neil Blair.
Here.
Greg, is it Shotton?
It's Shatton. Gallant, rhymes with Manhattan. Where I sit.
Helpful. Thank you. John Nevitt?
Here.
And Alistair Dixon?
Here.
And as I said earlier, but I'll say for purposes of the record, we have apologies from Mike Rotenbaugh and from Mike Pelage and from our chair, Chuck Gomes.
Tim Ruiz actually sent through an email about 10 minutes ago saying he might not be able to join, or at least he'd be half an hour late.
Oh, thank you.
And that's Maria?
It's Caroline. Beg your pardon, Caroline from Dunmurray.
Thank you, Caroline. We have an agenda. One thing I wanted to point out to people is I did make one small change to the agenda that is on the archives, and let me just say a couple of words about how to find documents. I did a couple of postings to the list because I know some of you are new to the working group process and even the task forces, so I did try to just provide a bit of roadmap on how to find where all the data or the previous emails have been sent. Everything should be on the archive except the telephone numbers for the calls, and we'll work through with Glenn. I'll talk to Chuck, and we'll work through with Glenn a better approach on dealing with the redistribution of the telephone calls in the future. This is just a little unfortunate glitch. The change I made between what I sent you and what is on the archive list is I changed the date. Chuck had inadvertently called it Thursday 01, February 2007, and today's call is actually Thursday 08. So you have two agendas posted that have the same date, but we're going to work on the last one. We don't have any new members, but we do have an acknowledgement from liaisons. So I'll cover those in just a minute. Let me ask if anyone wants to make other changes to the agenda or additions to the agenda. I'm going to make one addition, then it's Marilyn Cade speaking. I'm going to add 8, other business, and other business. I am merely going to reference a posting that we received from Liz Williams, which has the draft principles from the GAC for new GTLDs. Hearing no other additions, then we'll just start going through the agenda. I don't know if Glenn is back on or not, but the next item is a status report on interest statements. And, Tim, I think you can probably report on that.
Oh, dear, now you've got me.
I think we talked about the fact we have all the interest statements.
I think we tongue-tied for once. Yes, we do, so far as I know. And that from a little earlier this morning.
Okay. I do think, for the record, that we'll refer back to Chuck to ask him to discuss with the liaisons as they join us their development of a short interest statement to add at the appropriate time. But we'll leave that for the chair as a follow-up item.
Yes, if I can add, I believe that there's some discussion that someone had sent in a generic statement, interest statement, whereas they needed to send in one that was personal to themselves, and I believe we just thought that that was to be addressed by Chuck.
Right. I'll just say a word about interest statements. Dan, I see Dan Daugherty has joined the group. Welcome, Dan. I am just going to say something to all of you. It's really important whenever you join a call that you announce yourself. So in the future, on future calls, do be sure that you take the first advantage to announce yourself so it's clear that we're building the participation of the group. Let me say a word about interest statements. Interest statements are drafted by individuals. They're not, and they need to be written by you, about you, and about what your interests are. And because somebody else has a similar interest or a similar statement has been made someplace else, you still need to submit an interest statement because it goes into the record and then is needs to be updated if any changes happen. We're kind of used to that in the council and in the task forces, but I know for many of you on the working groups that this may be a new practice. Update on Chuck's action items. I'm on number 4. We do have a CCNSO working group observer, and I don't believe she has joined us on the call yet today, but we will have that name has been officially announced, and I know that Chuck will be doing some follow-up, I see, with our observer from the CCNSO. On the IDN working group liaison, my report on that is really from a conversation with Ram Mohan, who is the chair of the IDN working group, who had indicated that he is working on that. It may be himself, but in any case, he will be providing us with an observer relatively shortly. We also have an update from Suzanne Sin, and if I can, Tim, not verbatim, but can you just summarize Suzanne's feedback to us in relation to the GAC?
Yes, she said she was not going to be participating herself, that she would take the issue up of an observer from with the GAC appropriately, and that she would report back, or the GAC would report back with a representative.
Fabulous. Okay, I'm going to pause now, and what I'm going to do now is go through a list of documents that will be helpful to you as we work through item number 5 on our agenda. So I'm going to point a couple of things out. Tim posted a document called Comparison of GTLD Registry Reserve Names Version 3 that numbers the pages of the previous document. I might call that document the rainbow document for its vast array of different colors. You're going to find that document very, very helpful as we do the rest of our agenda today. So if you're close to a PC and it's feasible, it would be good to have that handy. The other document you're going to find handy is, again, a posting from Tim, where he posted last week's agenda, and we are going to refer to item number 7 in last week's agenda later in our working agenda. The final documents that you will find helpful are the written reports, actually there's 3 more, the 2 written reports submitted, one by Chuck and updated by Patrick Jones, on tag name reserve names report for reserve name working group, and a report from Tim. And Tim, the name of your report is?
ICANN and IANA Reserve Names.
And I think it was, the subject might have been Memorandum for Reserve Names Working Group?
It may have come across that way. I have it as ICANN and IANA Reserve Names in my file.
Good.
I believe it was sent out as.
Okay, fabulous. Please.
Madam Chairman, excuse me. There was also a table that I've just recently prepared and sent out to the working group, which was a classification of all the types of reserve names against the 3 categories of difficulty.
Fabulous. Thank you. So to the extent you can, if you can have those handy, and since Tim and I are both going to do reports at this phase in our agenda, it will give you a few minutes as well. If you don't have them handy, maybe you can grab them. I don't know if we have Glenn back yet. I don't believe we do. So she is still trying to find a few of our colleagues. Tim, if I might turn to you to do your report on ICANN and IANA related names, I'll just preface this by saying, although we had expected to have five reports today, three of our reporters are not able to, they still have more work to do, they've indicated, and they're not on the call. So we actually are going to have, I think, enough time to leisurely walk through these two reports and then move on to the next phase of the work. So I'll alert you to item number six so that you can start preparing yourselves. In item number six, following the two reports, I'll be soliciting for volunteers. And our chair did publish a email to everyone reminding people that we really are looking for you to pick one of these topics and do some real work on it. And so we're going to ask for volunteers, and then if we don't fill enough of the slots or don't get everybody allocated, we can go back and try to make some assignments. But do be thinking about which of these topics that you might be able to volunteer to be of assistance on in the next phase of the work. And with that, I will turn this to you, Tim, if I might, for your report.
Yeah. I had a very simple task. It was the note describes the rationale for the reservation of certain names, symbol strings to IANA and ICANN, and sets out which names have been reserved. It creates a table based on the Rainbow document, which shows the small number of reserved names to ICANN, which were ASO, DNSO, ICANN, Internet, PNSO, and CCNSO, very few, there are about six of them, did the same thing with IANA-related names. And then I, basically what I did was to seek from IANA the nature of the justifications. The truth of the matter is that a simple glance at the tables in the document shows that, for instance, with IANA-related names, they're all intimately related to the institutions or name servers or whatever that IANA runs, such as IETF, ISTF, LACNIC, LATNIC, etc., and that you will have to find, you'd have to almost go back into history to find out the exact justifications for them, but the justifications, as far as I'm concerned, are self-evident. They relate to the institution's processes and functions intimately connected with both the structures of ICANN and the structures and functions of IANA. And I concluded that, as I said, though it is quite likely that early participants in IANA and ICANN to testify to the origins of these reserved names, it is quite obvious that these would be of historical interest only, as the justifications are self-evident and not controversial. Inquiries in both organizations did not produce more, much more paper for justifications than is reported in. They produced no more verbiage than is actually found in my rather short three-page note. I think that really concludes what I would like to say about it, unless you have questions.
I'm sure we will, and I, Patrick, I want to just be sure that you're still free to step in with other comments as well.
This is Patrick, and I actually worked with Tim earlier in the week to come up with an answer on some of this research. So, I've already had some input into it.
For which I thank you very much. I appreciate your the help of all of you at ICANN and IANA.
So I want to point out a question that I think has implications to some of our other categories, if I might. And that is under, it's on page 2, 3, rationales, AIANA, going over to page 3, where we, and I think it's very helpful that you and Patrick did this, you provided for us the standard answer that is given when a request is received about reserved names. So it reads, thank you for your inquiry. Domain names reserved by the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority are not available for sale, registration, or transfer. These have been reserved on policy grounds and include single-letter domains, domains with hyphens in the third and fourth position, and other reserved words. Should the policies regarding these rules change, they will be released from IANA's registration according to the revised policy. I call everyone's attention to this because it's going to be helpful for you when we talk about tagged names and single letter and two character names, to just keep in mind that this document prepared by Tim will probably be, and by Patrick, will be an ongoing reference for us to come back to. Any other questions, comments? Caroline, any questions?
No, I think all things clear.
Okay. Neil, Greg?
No, I think it's pretty clear.
Okay.
I agree.
Let me go on then to, I'm going to report for Chuck on a report that he prepared, and Patrick, you updated, and I apologize. I'm working from my marked-up copy, which I'd done before you made your addition, so I'm going to need to turn to you to chime in when if I omit any of the additions that you made.
Sure. My additions were minor and in only one location.
Okay. So it's Marilyn Kate speaking. I'm reporting on the tag name reserve names report for the reserve name working group prepared by Chuck. Basically, what this report addresses is the requirement in all existing ICANN registry agreements to date that require the GTLD registries to reserve all labels with hyphens in the third and fourth position. I just want to pause and say that in this working group, we often use the term top level and first level interchangeably, and that means after the last dot. We use the term second level, meaning after the second dot, but here we are talking about the third and fourth position. So that is, in a string, the third and fourth characters in a position. The third and fourth characters that are in a string. So this requirement is drawn from the approved technical standards for internationalized domain names. And Chuck goes on to explain that there are limitations in the DNS which limit characters to the letters A to Z, the number 0 to 9, and the hyphen dash, and that there's a restriction that prohibits the hyphen dash from being the first or last character of a domain name. So there have been standards developed in the IETF that map international scripts to strings of ASCII characters, and these standards require that the ASCII representation of IDNs begin with a four-character prefix with hyphens in the third and fourth position. The current prefix is XN dash dash. His report goes on to show that there have been some other problems with speculators registering ASCII names with other prefixes dash dash, and so the decision was made to reserve all prefixes with dash dash in the second and in the third and fourth position. The rest of his report basically it begins to discuss there's a summary of relevant documents that I'm not going to go through in detail there because you guys can certainly read that for yourself. One point that I want to call your attention to because it's an action item for us is that in most of these topics we are going to be identifying, A, is there a need to hear from, quote, experts? B, who might those experts be? And then how do we get those consultations quickly scheduled with the experts? So one of the topics on the table for us to come back to on this topic and on the previous one is, do we need to hear from an expert. Chuck proposes that we could start out initially with Ram Mohan, who is the chair of the GNSO IDN working group, in order to get a good basic understanding. And then, if we agree we're going to do that, we could decide whether we need to add other experts and what the questions are that we would want to ask of the experts. I'm going to pause and, Patrick, ask you if you want to add any comments.
Okay, I have 2 points. In Chuck's document, I added earlier today under 5 ICANN registry agreement requirements.
Mm-hmm.
He was missing that ICANN has either CCTLD sponsorship agreements or MOUs with 12 CC managers, and all of those agreements have an identical provision on tag names.
Mm-hmm.
So that's now been added. And the other point is Tina Dam has been asked to also participate in this working group, and she apologized she has an IDN working group going on a call right now, but would be available next week.
Okay. Then I'm going to ask people to please keep track of that, and when we talk about experts, we ought to include Tina's name in our list of experts to include in our discussion. We're using the term experts here, as we will all recall, according to the statement of work, in a flexible manner. That is, someone who has particular expertise who can help to inform us. And welcome back, Glenn. That doesn't mean that they may be an expert for a day or an expert for a subject. It doesn't mean we're picking an expert that's going to touch on all topics. So I'll just flag that. And, Patrick, thank you. Let me turn to the participants on the call and ask if anyone has any questions about Chuck's report. This is because everyone is saving up their questions for when we get to choosing the experts, right? Okay. What I'm going to do now, I think, is suggest that what we ought to do now, Tim, and I just want to do a real-time consultation with you, if that's okay. I think it'd be helpful now to walk through your chart before we talk about volunteers for each category of work.
You want to alert them to the dangers ahead, do you? Okay. I would be pleased to do so.
Can I, before I do that, can I just pause and ask Glenn? Glenn, thank you very much for making those phone calls. Are you okay with our proceeding now? Were you able to leave messages for some of those folks?
I was able to leave messages for Tim Ruiz, Ms. Jacoby, Jonathan Levitt, and Tamara Resnick.
John's with us now. Tim will be joining in just a few minutes, we've heard. So I think that we're okay then. Thank
okay, because he can't be on the call. Michael Pallage can't be on the call.
The
system has got great difficulty in phoning in. There is still Dan Dougherty. Was he on the call?
Dan is on the call.
Okay, good. Okay, so we've got full house then, I think.
Good.
Okay, this is Avery just joining.
Avery, welcome. Thank you.
How did this get earlier?
Or
did you guys already resolve that?
We already resolved it. It had to do with 9 people thinking one thing, 8 thinking another, and neither one of them being aware of what the other group was thinking.
Oh, cool.
So we'll try to address that at the end of the call and make sure we have clarity. Thank you, though, Aubrey. And let me now turn everyone, if I might, Tim, if I might turn to you for reviewing your chart, which we're going to treat as a working document. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, evening, and whatever, everyone. What we did this morning was to go down a list that had been created in the agenda for today and to break it out somewhat into an increased number of categories, which I believe I've captured, but which I may not have captured them all. And so that is by type of name down one column, and I measured 14 such. Then to simply create a chart against the decision criteria that had been placed in the agenda. Marilyn may recall exact which one exactly, but this was the notion that the we would look at making decisions about the relative difficulty of deciding where things might go, and this was so we had the three decision criteria: low-hanging fruit, relatively easy to decide one way or another. So, in other words, it's either dead cert that they should not be reserved, or dead cert that they should continue to be reserved. The decision criterion was not which way they should go, but that it would be relatively easy. The next category over was very complex and maybe controversial but workable, which I just, as you can see there in the chart, expressed by W. And then extremely controversial and may take considerable time, I put T. And then whether we needed further comments from experts in a sort of as yes, no. So I did not fill those in. I just the first cut through this was to wasn't going to substitute my opinion for those of others, but to try to sort of explicate all the possible variations there could be. And so going down one side, we had ICANN and IANA related names. Then we broke out into four a category that had previously been expressed as one: single character first level, single character second level, two-character first level, two-character second level. Then tagged, second-level reservations for registry operations. Eight was geographic and geopolitical. Nine was reserved at the third level. 10 was others at second level, GTLD strings. 11, others at second level, CCTLD strings. 12, others at second level, registry-specific names. Others at second level, other, whatever that might be. And 14 was controversial. So it's no great work of science, but it just sort of helps us to start thinking about this in an organized way. And I think that's all I want to say.
Thanks. Tim, it's Marilyn speaking. I'm going to suggest for everyone's ease in using this, and I really appreciate your getting this together so quickly. This was a last-minute idea that Tim and I had, and I think it's going to be very helpful. But if you create a column to the left, just for your own purposes,
Marilyn, it's Alistair. Which document are you referring to here? I'm just a bit.
It's from Tim. It's from Tim Denton, and it is a.
The name of the document is Typology. Level.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. At some point, can we ask questions about the categorization?
Yeah. Of course you can. I'm just going to do something to just make it. I just want you to, on the left-hand side, and again, Tim and I didn't have a chance to, on the left-hand side, next to the 1, you should write the letter A, and next to 2, 3, 4, and 5, you should write the letter B. Next to 6, you should write the letter C. Next to 7, the letter D. Next to 8, the letter E. Next to 9, the letter F. Next to 10, 11, 12, and 13, the letter G, and then next to 14, the letter H. So when we flip back and forth between our two documents, you'll be able to easily see what the category is on the agenda that is now 5A through H. Secondly, on the agenda, if you go to the second page of the agenda, 7B, you'll see 1, 2, 3, and that is begin to group categories of reserved names, as Tim said, and we just took the categories from the agenda that the chair set out. So,
thank you. Yeah.
So I just want to be sure you, and then Tim and I thought that we added further comments as a column. We think that could be a place to take notes or say expert needed or no expert needed, et cetera, but we were just trying to give everybody, kind of an easy way to kind of organize this. And as we talked about, for instance, B, single and two character labels, the initial thought that I had is it may be less controversial to deal with single characters at the second level than it is at the first level. So we did not, for purposes of this discussion, lump them together, but this is a working document. It's intended to be a tool. And so at that point, let me just pause and Aubrey put you first in the queue and then hear from others.
Okay, hi. First of all, I must apologize. I don't have the documents in front of me since I didn't plan to be this on my computer until 2. But in looking at the, or talking about the first category of the I Can, I Anna, when we come to, I'm not sure that those are in the same category. Because when talking about I Anna, you've got the stuff that's put in by the I Can, I Anna, but you also have the possibility of an IETF RFC action putting things into IANA's list. Now, I'm not quite sure where the balance between IETF putting domain names in and IETF not putting domain names in would count. But, for example, we've got the stuff going on in IDN where the protocol may make certain things legal and illegal. And I think that we might just need a different category for that. And so I'm not quite sure that, for example, it's very easy in my mind to say, sure, anything that's on the ICANN, you know, reserved, like the NICs and all that, is an easy decision. But if we get to talking about what may or may not happen from an IETF IANA, then it might be harder.
Avery, it's Tim. If you have a look at what names are reserved, and when you have the documents before you, if you still maintain that opinion, okay. But I think...
No, I don't really have the opinion with names that are currently reserved, but it's just in defining a category, we don't know what's going to happen in the future, or is that not an issue? And as if we say that any name that IANA says is reserved is reserved, and that holds for the future as well, then I may have an issue.
Can I ask a question of you then? Because one possibility, you know, I think I kind of pointed this out when I said in Tim's report, for instance, IANA, we reference single letter and two letter names as a separate working category. And yet they are IANA-related names because of the way that they're reserved. So one possibility, and I'll just throw this out, Aubrey, for all of us to think about, is to divide this into A1 and A2 and have A1 be ICANN-related names and A2 be IANA-related names, and then to see if they fall into a different category or there's different work or some of the work is going to be done in one of these other categories, such as B or G. Is that another possibility?
It works for me as a start. I was certainly, I was talking about putting them into separate categories, and whether it's separate categories or separate subcategories is, you know, to me the same.
Denton here again. Is there some process? Let me try the game. Backing up. I don't mind a separate category, but I think this is a distinction without a difference. I don't see IANA being able to create new reserve names and then have ICANN impose them, you know, just like that without further ado. Okay, and secondly, I think in relative to the enormous amount of controversy we're going to have on other things, I think this one is a slam dunk. But anyway, I'll shut up now.
Let me hear from others, and then I just want to give an example. Let me, it's Marilyn speaking. Let me actually say that actually in some cases it isn't that IANA created a name, it's that a registry contract created a name, and that registry contract led to names being reserved at the IANA level, I believe. So maybe that's another clarification that we, and Patrick, I'm just going to ask you to take a note on this, if you would. Could you help us with what the IANA definition of how it creates names happens? Not right now, but if we could just come back to that, because that might answer some of Aubrey's questions. Like, what is the procedure by which names would go into the reserve category, the IANA-related names reserve category?
Marilyn, can I? Sorry.
Yes, I do want to take a cue. So I have.
Right.
I heard Alistair. And who else?
This is Patrick replying to what you were asking of me.
I'm going to put you in the cue first, then.
Okay.
So Patrick first, then Alistair.
Marilyn, I will do my best to try to find an answer on this. Just to give everyone a heads up, there's not a lot of information on what the requirements are. So I'll see what I can find.
Yeah, and it's Marilyn again. Patrick, I know it may be anecdotal. That's okay. You know, we're trying to we're just trying to educate ourselves.
Okay.
Alistair?
Thanks, Marilyn. I would support the suggestion to just separate out IANA and ICANN-related names. I just notice, if you look at the ICANN-related names, I'm wondering whether there may be some there that are not don't relate to current parts of ICANN. I'm thinking, do we still have a DNSO, for example?
We don't have a DNSO, but we still use the name in our archive processes.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, it just seems to me, whereas when I look at the IANA related names, I mean, it looks to me that there are just those, a lot of those names are sort of reserved for technical purposes.
Well, it seems to me that, it's dense in the game. I think it's very simple. I'll do what you ask. Oh, great. 1A, ICANN. 1B, IANA. Done.
Okay.
Let's not waste any time on this. This is great. Fine. Done.
I have a follow-on question, and that is, it's just a question for us to take for the record, Patrick, but I noticed that we have reserved DNSO, but I don't see that we've reserved GNSO, and there may be a reason for that.
Well, this is Patrick, and the reason is probably most of these agreements are that they were written when there was a DNSO,
uh-huh.
And we're in the process of renewing, so many of them have been updated so that GNSO may be reflected, or it's in the new agreements that have come in since 2005, but I don't think that GNSO has been added as a reserve name to, for example, BizInfo, org, any of the others.
I think, though, this illustrates and would be helpful to us to understand how a name might go on an ICANN-related reserve names list. So then I'm going to go over to IANA-related names, Table 2, and ask that we take as a working question to come back to, because I do... You know, I tend to, at this point, support what Tim is saying, that his initial review as author is that this will be among the least controversial. But I do have a question for us to address, and we raised it before. That is, as new labels are registered at the top level, will they automatically go into an IANA-related reserve list? And that, I think, is just a question that we want to put in the comments column.
Can you, Jensen again, can you say that question again?
as new strings are registered at the top level, that would include IDNs and ASCII character, will they automatically go into future registry agreements and be added at renewal to existing registry agreements? So the example that we would have would be, we see here on page 2 that .jobs, .mobi, .travel, .tel, .cat, etc. are now reserved at the second level and all other levels within the TLD at which a registry operator can make registration. So let's say we have a .Maryland. Well, that's a joke, everyone. Well, .Maryland...
We thought it was a completely serious proposition.
would .Maryland go into the future registry agreement? Are there anything, any other questions that, because you had a question related to IANA-related names. Could we capture your question?
Sorry, I was on mute, and it took so long to switch with them talking. Not at the moment. As I say, I'm going through the website now looking at how the various IANA names are in. The only issue I might have is if RSC Action can put names in the IANA reserve list, then that needs to be thought of separately.
I'm sorry, I didn't capture everything you said. If who?
I said if RSC Action by the IEPF can put names in the IANA reserve list,
yeah,
which I'm not sure it can, but I'm not sure it can't,
okay,
then I would have issues because there are really two IANAs or two paths into IANA. And if that's the case, they need to be considered separately.
Okay, I think we can capture that and then move, if we can, to, now, what I'd like to do at this point is actually do item 6 and then move back to filling in the blank on Tim's chart, because I want people to take some ownership of additional work that needs to be done. I consider 1 pretty much done in terms of the report that has to be done, et cetera. So I'm not opening that up for an additional volunteer. I am looking for volunteers on B2, B3, B4, B5, and again, they may be collapsed, but I'm looking for volunteers on those categories.
Question, Denton here, you're referring to the typology?
I'm looking for, if you look at the agenda, which says obtain additional volunteers for each category to work with existing volunteers.
Yeah.
I'm looking for volunteers for any one of those 4 categories on the typology. So someone could volunteer for B2, which is single character first level, or B3, single character second level.
This is Neil. I'd be happy to assist Mike on the single characters at the second level.
Would you also do 2 characters at the second level so we could deal with a second level at the package?
Sure.
Okay. Anyone want
Marilyn, I'm happy to do single character at first level.
Okay. And then I'm going to co-opt you into 2 character at the first level as well then, can I?
Sure.
That is going to be heavily related to another topic, and I'll make that clear later. Tag names, I consider that Chuck and Patrick have concluded the background document on that, so I'm going to skip that. Second level reservations for registry names needs a volunteer, and it is a relatively simple. It is specifically limited to operations. It's actually similar in work to G, but it is, I think, a relatively limited and technical write-up, very similar to what Tim has done for item A. Can I get for instance, that www? Can I get a volunteer for that? Chuck's going to make assignments if I don't get volunteers. Let me go to item 8, which is geographical and geopolitical names. I'd really like to get another volunteer to work on that. I'm wondering if I could volunteer John Nevitt by any chance, or someone else. But it's a pretty robust topic, and I think it needs a couple of people working on it.
Can I ask can I ask a question about what's expected in the work item on the geographical?
What we're looking for is the same kind of report, Aubrey, that has been done on, for instance, the tag names report. So you will provide the background and explanation of what the current status is, similar, and what resource documents exist, what the summary of what's in the existing contracts, etc. It's really analyzing the current situation.
And what are these needed by?
We need them by next week, if at all possible.
Okay. So, yeah, I'd be interested in helping with that one, but I know that I'm totally incompetent at getting anything done by next week because I'm totally filled up. So I'd be willing to help on that one, but I don't think I could do that much.
But can I put you down as maybe helping?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, it's just that I'm going off to actually work for a week.
I think I'm going to come watch you work if we're talking about Geneva.
Yeah.
Okay, and number F, which is names reserved at the third level. This is a kind of a unique situation so far. The names reserved at the third level .pro is the most useful example we have. Patrick, I think I'm right that is the existing example, is it not?
I believe so, but maybe there are others out there that we haven't uncovered yet.
Right. So I'm looking for somebody who could just do a report on names reserved at the third level. And I'm going to open up my list of names. Greg, I'm staring at you and Dan.
I was just about to volunteer. This reminds me of my third grade report on the presidency of William Henry Harrison. If there's only one, I'll have to look for others. But
And that's Greg, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, can I throw you into that? Dan?
Dan?
Sorry, I was muted. My apologies. Yes, you can add me to that along with Greg. And the question, I have a question on the single letter. Is that the Mike who's working on that? Is that Mike Rodenbaugh?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you.
It's Denton here. I'd like to intervene at this point. Mr. Rodenbaugh seems deftly to have believed he's handed over this to me because I offered assistance. He believes that offering assistance was, in fact, doing the work for him. I just wish to be clear that unless I am assigned by the chairman to do something, I can offer, you know, basically the research assistance that I've got out of ICANN itself, but I'm not writing a word for these things. So in case he has left you or anyone else with that impression, it is not so. End of statement.
And that's why I think I'm trying to recruit additional help. I can help a little bit on the B as well, but I'm going to volunteer for another one a little bit later on. Let me go to others at second level, and we divided those, again, because we think they may be a little more controversial. Hold on just a minute, guys. Really sorry, I'm starting another meeting and I'm just trying to get it launched without me. others at the second level, GTLD strings, CCTLD strings, registry specific names, and other. Any volunteers for any of those? Mike Rodenbaugh is working on them already, so whoever volunteers is really just joining Mike and helping out. Caroline?
Yeah, I'll take a shot at GTLD and CCTLD strings.
Okay. And we'll leave Mike to deal with those the controversial. And has Tim joined us yet? I don't see him on my list. I'm going to volunteer to work with Tim on the category of controversial names since I'm convinced those are going to be the most interesting. I hear no laughter. Uh-oh. Okay.
Marilyn, sorry, it's Caroline again. Can I just clarify, am I Was I choosing one of those three, or are the three bundled together?
What I was going to do is suggest, because Lundbaugh is already working on those bundled together.
Sure.
If you could just contact him, and then you guys might subdivide them between you on some of the research and then do the writing jointly.
Okay. No problem. Thanks.
Fabulous. Okay. Well, I feel like we're just making great progress here, mostly in my helping fulfill the chairman's assignment. Let me now take us back to item 7 on our agenda. And for the next call, there's a description here of what it is you're going to try to do. You're going to try to get a report similar to the one that Tim and Chuck wrote. But you need to include in your report a draft statement of the role of domain reservations for your category. Why should these names continue to be reserved? What's the value of continuing to reserve them? Or do you think they no longer need to be reserved? So we should think of this as a name could be in a reserved category, but it makes sense to unreserve it. A name should be in a reserved category, but there ought to be a process by which it goes into the reserved category. Secondly, I want you to think about, and we're going to talk a little bit about this on today's call, what are the additional information sources that need to be reviewed and summarized? What are the experts we need to talk to, if applicable? And how do we begin to develop questions for experts? So those of you who haven't completed your reports, you're trying to get a brief written report for next week's meeting, and then you'll be asked to provide an update on it. Now, I'm now going to move us back over to the agenda from last week's call that Tim sent out and call your attention to item 7 on the agenda, item 7C. And under item 7C, we have small Roman 2, where we are going to talk about the identification of experts that can help us in understanding the background or the issues, whether they're technical or other, that may relate to the particular category you're working in. So we're going to try to walk through the list of experts that Chuck and others have already thrown out and see about expanding that as well. Okay? Everybody okay with that?
Sure.
Okay. So let me say a couple of words about the experts that he has already identified. I also gave him the name of two experts that we hadn't added in, and I want to put their names forward as well. One of them is Patrick Falstrom, and the other is Lehman, and Lehman, the root server operator that is with Autonomics, is that right?
Yes, he's one of the RSTEP members.
Yeah. Can you tell us his last name?
If you give me a quick second, I can.
It's either Lehman or another executive in his company, because I think we need to add in a root server operator that we could talk to as well.
Lars Johan Lehman.
Thank you. Okay, so Patrick Falstrom were the names I wanted to add in, and Lars Johan Lehman as possibilities. We have a recommendation of Paul Markopetris, which I think would be excellent to have Paul come and talk to the group, by conference call, by the way. Lyman Chapin would be, he's happy to talk with us, and I think Lyman would be a good addition to hear from. If we need to hear more from the GNR registry, we have a recommendation here of volunteers from GNR related to .name. I don't know that we need to really dig into that particular TLD, but it's there, and we ought to raise the question as we walk through our categories if we do want to take up some of their time. Tim was going to try to explore whether David Conrad had been able to verify his status with the ICANN General Counsel, is whether he could act as an expert. I think in the future we're going to just refer to this as expert in quotes, not as expert witness.
I made that inquiry this morning by email and have not yet heard back.
Okay. So I've shown out two names. Do folks have other names that they right now think would be helpful for us to talk to?
This is Patrick again. I mentioned Tina Dam.
Yes, I've added her. Yep, thanks. And so we should add Ron Mohan, Tina Dam, and I've suggested Patrick Bostrom and Lars Johan Lehman. Are we okay for right now with those names with the, I'll leave a category that says other to be determined, is that okay? Okay, hearing no objection, I'm moving us back to the typology document. And on our agenda, we are we're skipping past the question of developing a list of questions because I want to see if we can go through the number seven, prioritization exercise more completely. Right now we have subdivided category A into one ICANN names and IANA-related names, and I heard a proposal to put both of those in the low-hanging fruit category. Not that some work wasn't needed, but compared to others, they would be relatively simpler to resolve. Can I hear support or objection to putting both of those in the low-hanging fruit category?
That seems sensible to me.
Okay,
so LHF goes into 1A and 1B. Thank you.
Do we hear any objection to that?
Question?
Uh-huh.
This is Aubrey. I didn't understand what it meant goes into 1A and 1B. Is it 1C?
It's Denton here. You got it reversed. The notion is that 1A and 1B, ICANN-related names, IANA-related names, go into the putatively low-hanging fruit, relatively easy to decide category.
And I agree with 1A. I don't agree with 1B.
Okay, let me.
I agree 1B still got to have the question.
So let me provide a little bit of clarification, and maybe I should have done this before. One thing we're trying to do is to prioritize the work and then allocate resources to achieve work by Lisbon and identify what work cannot be concluded by Lisbon, but is going to have a longer work initiative. So we're not trying to say that low-hanging fruit is done or isn't going to have work. We're trying to say we ought to be able to get it done on a shorter time frame. Does that change your view at all, Aubrey?
No.
Okay. So I have Alistair saying yes, he thinks both can go in. Aubrey, would you just state your proposal again?
Yeah, I certainly agree that 1A is low-hanging fruit.
Uh-huh.
I think if we spend a little bit of time looking at what 1B really means, we may decide that it's low-hanging fruit. But if there is a complexity, then it won't be.
Okay.
And I'm just not sure yet whether there's a complexity there or not. I'm asking the question.
Okay.
And the question that's pending is, what does it mean to get into IANA's list, and what are the different pathways into its list? Okay. If there is only one pathway,
uh-huh.
and that's ICANN decision, then it is low-hanging fruit. If there are multiple pathways in,
uh-huh.
then it isn't.
Okay. So I'm going to put, Aubrey, I'm going to put both of them in that category, but I'm going to put a big asterisk and condition beside your accepting that.
Sure.
Okay. Anybody else have an opinion one way or the other?
I've just Addendum here. I've just put in relation to 1B. I put further comments. I just put reservations dash Avery on the column 4 under the further comments.
Okay.
So.
Good. Then let me just tell folks that if you don't speak, you're going to be recorded as supporting the proposal of where this is, where this particular topic is allocated. So I, in the interest of not, there not being confusion about this, Caroline?
Hey, I would have thought they were both low-hanging fruit.
Okay. Neil?
My position is the same as Caroline. They appear to me to both be low-hanging fruit.
Okay, Greg?
I would agree.
John? Dan?
Oh, I'm sorry. I agree. Both low-hanging fruit.
Okay. Then I think what we have here is low-hanging fruit with this condition to resolve, and we're going to move on then. Did I miss anybody? Did I miss
Marilyn, Sean, sorry, I missed. I agree with the group on that.
Okay, good. Then let me move to the single character first level, and I'm going to lump single letter, single character first level. We'll try to walk through this relatively quickly. I'll give you my initial view on this. I think because I've done a lot of study on a single characters at the first level and the second level. I think single characters at the first level are much more controversial than and may have technical questions that I haven't found at the second level. But that's my initial view that single characters at the first level are more controversial. I don't actually know that they're workable if there are technical questions. Anyone else want to comment on just 2B, single character first level?
Marilyn, can I, sorry, it's Alistair here. So are you, would you put them in the extremely controversial category then?
I would.
That what your proposal would be, right?
Yeah, I would.
And this is Dan. May I speak? Can you give me a little bit of background? I'm not familiar with the technical difficulties with respect to second or single letter first level domain name.
Denton here, can I just would like to make interjection, Madam Chairman?
Please.
One of the things that would be, I would want this kind of voting, as it were, to be, it would be more grounded if everyone had a kind of report before them in order to make this decision. So if we're going through this, I think it's a good idea. But I think that it would have next week going through the same list or a couple of weeks from now, we'll have a much better idea. So I would take this as pretty tentative kind of discussion.
Right. Excellent. Thank you.
Marilyn?
Yes.
It's Caroline. Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I understood you were going to do this exercise after we had assembled the various reports from different people. So personally, I also find this quite difficult to do, not having the necessary background information.
Sure. Guys, we're going to try to do a very rough, quick walkthrough on this because we're just beginning to group them. This isn't definitive. We're going to go through the reports, and then we'll actually, the chair will actually do a more in-depth prioritization. Let me say a couple of things about, there are five single letters at the second level that were accidentally released, and there are single letters in use in many in many country codes, there's been a preliminary report done by the staff and presented to all of you as one of the resource documents in the statement of work. It's simple, easy to read, etc. So, but symbols, and the other thing that I should just say is symbols and numbers are much more controversial than letters, so I don't expect us to be able to do all this until we scramble through the report that we're expecting to get from Alistair, Mike, and Neil. I'm merely making a straw proposal in brackets for where I think it belongs. I'm going to walk through each of these with that same concept of a straw proposal, but it is merely a straw proposal that we'll need to come back to.
Marilyn, it's John. I just want to echo what some of the other people have said. Maybe it's better, instead of doing a straw proposal at first, just to give it a little more overview and a little more meat to the bones, because I have a hard time, just like the others, Caroline and someone else said, I have a hard time start even pointing to where I think these things should be.
Okay.
So I think that, especially when we're subdividing single characters into two, characters, letters versus non-letters, maybe it's just better just to do an overview first.
Let me point something out, guys. If you don't deliver your reports by next week, we're going to begin to run into trouble on actually getting our work done. So why don't we walk through these? I'm going to make a very high-level overview statement of what I know or don't know, and see if anyone else has information to offer, and then offer just a very, very hypothetical of where I think it might go. We will consider it merely a working document, and we'll move on to trying to complete the rest of the agenda. But we are going to have to prioritize the work and also come up with a plan, a recommendation for can any work get done between now and Lisbon. And what are we going to recommend to the council that they do going forward? Because this work has to feed into the new GTLD work.
Marilyn, can I ask a question?
You can. I just want to
Okay, sorry. I didn't realize you weren't finished.
I just want to welcome Tamara to the call.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late.
Audrey?
Original.
Okay, yeah. The question I had is, I understand the mappings, but I mean, I understand the classification, and I guess I would classify them pretty much the way I grade papers. Everything starts off with a C, and then either gets better or worse. So everything starts out at the minimum category, and then it'll either move. What I don't understand is how these classifications map to priority. And is just because it's low-hanging fruit, it's done first, or is it just because it's low-hanging fruit, we save it for last when we're rushed? And so I don't understand the mapping between
sure.
level of difficulty and priority.
Sure. I can share with you what Chuck and I talked about when we were drafting the statement of work, but I really feel I need to leave it to the chair to elaborate for himself on any further thinking. When we wrote the statement of work, we hoped we would be able to categorize work that could be done quickly, work that was controversial but we felt could be achieved, and then some work that might be very controversial and require a lot of research and might take a lot of time and would have to be acknowledged as not being able to complete that without a longer term. But I wasn't trying to say that we on this call we're going to then decide which of those we start working on. According to our agenda, at this phase in our agenda, we were just trying to clump categories together. I would assume, Aubrey, that the full working group would have to then figure out what the working priority was.
Okay. So, yes, so my vote for all of them is middle level of complexity.
It's what, sorry?
Is middle level of complexity.
Okay. I will put Aubrey there. Would you put tag names there as well?
At this point, yeah. At this point, until we've seen the reports, I think all of them, it's really difficult, as other people were saying, as just basically to fill in your chart with a straw
uh-huh.
proposal, is that they're all at a medium level of complexity, and it's only with the analysis that we either see the monster or the devil in the details.
Okay, then let me offer, it's Marilyn speaking, let me offer a couple of comments that, Tim, I'd like you to put into the comments section.
Noted.
On E8, geographic and geopolitical names, I'd like to offer a comment that this is going to require consultation with the Government Advisory Committee, as well as review of what existing practices are, but that it also is going to require consultation with the GAC, both in its principles and possibly in more detail. And I would also like to have that same comment under H, number 14.
Just a second. I'm just going to block and copy. Done.
My own view just is that unless anyone else wants to offer comments beyond what has been made.
Marilyn, it's Alistair. My view is that the geographical and geopolitical and the controversial would be in the third category, but I would agree with Avery that pretty much everything else would be in the second category.
Okay.
At this stage.
Okay. Does anyone else want to comment?
The one exception probably would be tagged names, or at least those related to IDNs. Maybe that could be in the third category too.
In the extremely controversial and may take more time, or in the low-hanging fruit?
Well, I think they will take, it could be one or it could be the other, right?
That's why it's in the middle.
Yeah, okay, I'll keep it in the middle then.
Marilyn, this is Patrick. Can I add something?
Please.
If everyone hasn't had a chance to look at the either Chuck's original report or the report that I updated on tag names, you know, suggest that you take a look at that before the next call, because that may answer some of the concerns that have been raised about whether it's in the middle category or low-hanging fruit or in another category. Just that it's just general background information on why tag names were put into the registry agreements, either the GTLD agreements or the CCTLD agreements, and I just think it's really useful background that we should all have before the working group goes forward.
Yeah, thanks. I think when people get a chance to read this and read that report now, against thinking about this, I think that will help them think about where that item goes. Does anyone want to make any other comments about any of this before we move on?
This is Greg Shatton. Just one thing I'm kind of wrestling with is what others at second level other might be, and whether if it is, depending upon what it is, what category it might fall into. I realize it's sort of a catch-all, but maybe if we can put some meat on the bones, we can figure something out about it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good question to add. We need to capture that and ask Chuck who he was thinking about. I'm also going to ask to have a footnote added, Tim, that when we say single characters, we have to keep in mind that that includes symbols and numbers. And the technical issues related to symbols and numbers is different than the technical issues related to letters, as has been illustrated in the initial staff report. So we probably ought to put a footnote there and ask the question of, is the single character here intended to encompass letters, symbols, and numbers?
And I suppose that would also, this is Greg Shatton again, also have to include in IDNs, things that are not letters but are ideograms or other characters.
Right.
Okay, just for your, what I'm saying here is under 2B and 3B, mm-hmm. I've written in the further comments, I said includes symbols and numbers in both cases.
And we could, I think we have to assume it does and then figure out whether we're addressing all of them or only letters or only, but I think we at least need to clarify that.
We may have 2B and 3B broken down even further into different, according to letter, symbol, or number,
right.
You know, by next meeting. Who knows?
And by symbol, are we including IDN type of character? I'm sorry.
Actually, Greg, I wasn't there. I think we need to be clearer. You know, for instance, the pound sign, the ampersand, the bang.
Right.
Yeah. Asterisk. I think we ought to have a different question for ourselves and ask maybe Rom's help on this. This came up in the IDN working group, and we agreed that we needed to have cross-pollination and discussion between this group and IDN experts. But to your question, Greg, it is how are we dealing with ideograms related to IDNs?
Right.
Is that right?
That is my question.
Okay. So that can go in the comment. Or I think that probably goes in the comment category. Are we ready to move on?
This is Greg. Just one last but maybe it's a point of clarification. On the others at second level, other, and indeed for this group generally, are we considering what .mobi has called premium names, names that are kind of being reserved for alternative methods of distribution, other than the typical first come, first serve, and sunrise type registry?
Caroline here. .mobi kind of categorizes reserved names and premium names as two different items. So,
in the statement of work, and I am going to make a homework assignment, all of you need to read the original statement of work. I'm not suggesting it's your Bible, but you need to go back and read it. One of the things, the questions that it asked was, how do things get into a reserve list? And if you look at the Rainbow document, you'll see, you'll be very interested to see that, and I'm trying to say this without prejudice, it's Marilyn speaking, but you know, you'll see that, for instance, info has list.info and mail.info and phone.info and register.info and search.info, site.info. You go over to biz has security.biz, servicemark.biz, services.biz, telnet.biz. You go to find your biz, hostmaster, helpdesk. Go to, I'm just looking for one more example, affiliates, and you see affiliates has member.info, members.info. So, you know, I think it's a legitimate question to ask, and then you look at that name and you see some unique things there because of the issue of dealing with Arabic names, et cetera. Maybe reading that document again after, you know, going through these two calls may actually raise some more questions to you. But I think it's a fair question to ask, how do, and that would be G13, I think, Greg, how do names get reserved at the second level? And how do they get unreserved? Because if a name goes into a reserve list, in theory, there has to be a process to unreserve it before it's allocated. If, to Caroline's point, I think she was saying that premium names was not a reserve category, it was something else. Is that right, Caroline?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we, as a registry, have kind of categorized them differently because they're not in the reserved names appendix, that they're actually in our product list. And yes, to allocate them, we do need to reserve them, so in theory, they are reserved names, but we would qualify those names. I mean, you know, happy to discuss them, and yeah, we can add them onto the list, no problem, but just from our perspective, we would see them as different from reserved names.
I guess I would suggest that they're kind of a separate category of reserved names, but they, in fact, operate, you know, not dissimilarly from reserved names and really are reserved names, and if other, you know, something for us to consider.
And so,
yes, Robert, can I comment on that, too?
Sure. It's Marilyn. I just wanted to say, we did talk a little bit about the issue of, in an earlier discussion on the statement of work, about how do names get onto a reserve list, how do they get off a reserve list, who has the authority to take someone off a reserve list. So I just want to capture that question for us to come back to in relation to, not specific to any of these categories, but one of the questions that we ought to just ask ourselves when we ask ourselves the question about what's the purpose of the reserve list. How do you get on it? How do you get off it? Who has the ability to get to allow a name off of it? And that makes it a more a neutral discussion that we can have across all these categories offering.
Yeah, I think that I'm in essence agreeing. I think that there is a category that we need to discuss that, for want of a better term, could be called local reserve name list. And that we don't necessarily have to discuss the contents of those lists, but we need to discuss sort of the principles by which a TLD can create its own local reserve name list, you know, as opposed to the global reserve name lists that are normally created. And I think the subject of how one removes a name locally that is on the global list is yet another topic.
I think actually, I just want to ask Patrick and Tim to take this as a follow-up item. I think that the place we thought we were dealing with those is in the Rainbow document. Under other names reserved at the second level, and then just has lots of different examples. I think that's the, and I think that is the others at second level other category. That would be what I'm calling G13 right now. So, Aubrey, unless it proves not to be the place to deal with your question, that's where...
Yeah, no, I was thinking that this was the question others were talking about. Wherever it fits is fine, but I don't think it's a reserved name per se. It's a meta issue.
This is Patrick. I have something to add to this. With .cat, they have a special category that sort of falls in this others at second level, other, for community assigned names.
Uh-huh.
And this would be names of, I guess, famous Catalan writers or other officials that they've included in this, and it's part of their Appendix F.
Mm-hmm.
It's not with the reserved names list, but they are, for lack of a better term, they are reserved at the community level.
Patrick, would you add that? Is that in our document?
That has been added into the document. It's near the end. I believe it's after the biz and affiliates and pro list.
I'm going to separately make a recommendation to you and Chuck, but not online, about improving, enhancing the numbering of this document by paragraph, because I think we're going to be referring to it a lot. Okay, I'm now going to move us away from this document, if everybody's okay with that. Have we captured everything anybody wants to say about it? Let me thank Tim for putting it together as an initial effort for us to help us move this along. Now, let me bring us back to where we are on our agenda. I want to go back on the working agenda for today to number 7, action items for the next call. Several of you have volunteered to help work with other colleagues on helping to complete a document. I am going to ask Tim to just post an email with the volunteers' names.
In that case, we're going to have to go over them again, and I got to hold on.
I captured them all.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, because I have not got all the names to all the portions.
It's okay. And whenever you see them, if Tim and I put you in the wrong place, you'll yell, "I know." Now, I noticed that Tamara, by being on the call app, didn't get assigned to help somebody else with a report. But when you see this list, Tamara, would you give some thought to whether you might join one of the groups?
Okay, definitely.
Thanks.
Hey, Marilyn, I'm not on a group either. It's John, and I'm happy to work with Mike Palage on the geographic names.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Who is that speaking?
John Nevitt.
John Nevitt.
Thank you. Just needed to recognize your voice. Thank you, John.
Sorry, Tim.
So, you need to be working on your report. You got an outline for the report, but you also need to look at 7 and A1 and see if you can begin drafting a statement of the role of reserved names, why, for your category, why there should be reserved names, what's the purpose of reserving names, and then thinking about whether or not you see the need for additional resources. We've already talked about some experts. If you feel the need for additional experts, I think you should use you should go back to Tim and to Chuck and raise the question of whether there are additional experts that Chuck might identify or work with the staff to identify beyond the folks who've already been recommended. And start thinking about the list of questions you have for any experts on your category. You need a brief written report for the meeting next week. It may be a status report, but if there are areas you can't fill in, don't hesitate to ask for guidance on where to go. And that's where I see Tim as being helpful in gathering the questions from people. And then coming back to Chuck and maybe to me and a couple of other people and asking, you know, are there other, and Patrick, and asking, are there other places to go, other resources we haven't considered, we feel the need to have our experts brief the group before we can go any further. Try to begin to narrow down those kinds of questions. I'm going to propose to Chuck that he begin to schedule in parallel the general experts, such as Paul, possibly such as Patrick, David, if he's going to be available, and that we devote a call to hearing and being able to ask questions of the general experts. We're going to need to try to do that relatively soon. During the week of the 22nd of February, some people are going to be in L.A. at a policy development meeting. Can I just ask who on this call is already scheduled to be at PDP 05 or PDP 06?
Next week?
The 22nd, Aubrey.
Oh, the 22nd. Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Aubrey will be there. John, are you going to be there?
I'm 50-50.
Okay.
Marilyn, I will be participating remotely at least some of the time.
Okay. I will be there. Neil, are you going to?
Yes.
Okay. Greg?
I will be in cold New York.
Dan?
I'll be in balmy San Francisco.
I think you're just showing off there, Dan. So I've got Aubrey. Tamara?
Yes. You will not be there.
You won't be there. Okay. Who am I missed here?
And did you want me to loop up with you after the call on which group I want to join?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, do you happen to know, Dan, is Mike Rotenbaugh going to be there?
I don't think he is. Whether or not he'll be participating remotely, I don't know.
Okay.
Mike told me yesterday that he thinks he is going.
All right. Well, there you go. It shows you what I know.
Okay. And Chuck Gomes is going to be there, I know, for Thursday and Friday and part of Saturday. Well, we are supposed to make a report, mid-session report, and I had told Chuck I would ask about the possibility of trying to have a two-hour working session for the group, possibly on Saturday morning with dial-in. Because it's on the West Coast, it should be we should be interrupting your Saturday morning midday for some of you elsewhere. But why don't we just take that as an action item and ask Chuck online whether he thinks that would be useful to do. It might be that it would be helpful to take advantage of Rom, you know, some of our experts. It might be possible to take advantage of some of our experts for that call. I'm going to pause. I'm going to close this call in about 4 minutes. So let me just point people to Liz Williams, ICANN staff, posted to the group the present draft principles from the GAC on GTLDs. Those will be a discussion topic at another time, not for today's call. And I will go through them. I volunteered to go through them and do a mapping against our categories to see which of our categories seem to be implicated by the principles. And there's a lot of work to get done between now and next week so that we can have reports from folks. Let me pause and take questions from anybody who isn't clear on what they're going to do between now and next week and what they're going to do on next week's call.
This is next week's call you're talking about?
Yeah.
I won't probably be at that, and if I am, I'll be at it late because I do have a FEBO 06
right
call simultaneous with it.
He had told me that he was trying to change that with you so that there wouldn't be an because there's a conflict for me.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet. And at the moment, basically changing either call means reaching enough people and getting agreement. And that's difficult. And as you know, sometimes when you start that, you end up with half and half thinking it's at one. Now, you know, so there's been various suggestions, but we haven't managed to reach closure on any method of getting out of each other's way yet. So assuming we're still in each other's way, I obviously have to give FEBO 06 priority.
However, I see Alistair, John, Marilyn, Aubrey with direct conflict.
Can I just make a suggestion? Avery, I would be willing to do the PBP06 at 5 a.m. my time, so that would be 2 hours earlier than this call started, if that would help.
Okay. I had been looking at 2 hours later at the end of this one, knowing your restriction, but you saying that, I'll definitely put the earlier one in the option list and see if that works. The problem is getting enough people from the February 6th. Now, I expect the February 6th meeting will be relatively process-oriented and not that contentful, so it may be able to be shorter, but I don't know.
Can I real quickly on your behalf ask John, Marilyn, and you've already heard from Alistair. I can go either way, Aubrey, for myself. John, are you flexible to move either way?
I have a meeting from 12 to 1 Eastern time, so if we do it earlier, what's 5 a.m. your time, Alistair? What is that for me? Do you have any idea? 5 a.m. my time. No, I'm not sure, John.
Okay, what's 1 p.m.?
So it's 17 UTC, however you calculate.
Yeah, that's right. 17 UTC, yep.
Okay, I would need an hour before this single letter or reserve name working group starts at 1 p.m. my time.
Yeah.
So I need an hour before that. So I don't know if that gets too early for Alistair. I'm very flexible after that.
Okay, well, why don't we leave that with Glenn and Aubrey to work out. You've heard that people can be flexible after that or before that, and we'll try to avoid the collision as much as possible, Aubrey. So I am going to, Tim and I will walk through the typology of reserved names, get Chuck to propose either collapsing it or changing it in any way that seems useful, work that out with Tim, and Tim and I will work together to capture what people have agreed to. We've populated the working group, and I'm going to call the call to an end, but open it for one final round of comments from anyone on any topic that's on your mind.
Denton here.
Yes.
Have we agreed on a call-in time next week?
Glenn, Tim, that was a discussion we were just having.
I know, but I didn't get whether there was resolution of it.
No, there was no resolution of it.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Yes, Glenn, would you take as an action item to follow up with Aubrey and help work through this collision issue?
She's already done it.
Pardon me?
Yes.
Fabulous. And then just get back to the group, because I just wanted to respond to Tim that we haven't resolved it. And so if we could try to resolve it by, Aubrey, do you think we can resolve it by Friday, or do we need to go to Monday?
I have no idea if we can resolve it, so yeah. I mean, we're obviously going to try, and I just don't know.
Well, since,
I mean, sometimes you can't. So now you've moved this meeting an hour earlier than it was. So already the conflict is only for first hour of one, second hour for the other, correct?
So
although by moving it earlier, you've pretty much put John out of it completely, or?
John who?
Nothing.
Oh, no.
I'm so
first of all, I don't think it's been moved. I thought it was 1 p.m. Eastern from the start. So, but by keeping it the way we started today, you're right, Aubrey, there's only 1 hour conflict, so you only have to move the Task Force 06 1 hour farther ahead, later.
That's true. I had never realized that this one was moved, so I keep thinking of it as what was it?
Okay, so we're gonna see if Glenn and Aubrey can work on moving PDP 06 an hour later, leave this one at 1 o'clock next week, and then we have back-to-back calls for some people, but we are not in collision mode. I'm going to work with Tim and on filling in the names of people who volunteered, and we will work with Chuck on any enhancements or suggestions as to the typology. And if people want to talk to me on background about resources, that is anything I could offer about where to find information, do feel free to call me. My cell phone is 202-360-1196, and my email is msk@cox.net. And Chuck will be back next week, and in the meantime, we'll be working on evolving an agenda with Tim and I working in the background to bring him up to date. Let me recommend transcripts to all of you. Glenn has done a fabulous job of being a really good quality service, and quick turnaround really is very, very helpful as a resource. We're closing the call.
Marilyn, thanks for stepping in.
Sure. Thanks everyone for being here. And Glenn, we're all interested to know that you're with us in spite of the fact that you were injured, and we'll look forward to catching up on how you're doing. Bye-bye.